Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Yeah, I'm even deeper today. Y'all have to bear with me. Told you those cords are already being worked heavy with John Martin on paternity leave. We're quickly approaching his return, though. Hope he realizes that. Hope he's refreshed. But last night, I'm out at MUS watching a fifth grade Jack Jones basketball tournament. And I'm the bad parent. I'm screaming at the refs. I know. Brad, that ever been you? Brad Carson, ladies and gentlemen, our executive producer on the ones and twos, as you know. Fantastic program director extraordinaire. You ever been the bad parent that's really getting on the ref? Like you're the worst one in terms of, you're the one that the ref's looking at like, bruh, it ain't that serious. That was me last night. And so I was screaming.
I have been that guy.
That's what I'm talking about. My already, you know, lowered and weakened voice.
Yeah.
I was screaming last night. I was that guy. I'm not proud of it.
I have a talk with myself every time I go to a youth sports event.
I try to do the same thing on the drive over, and then I don't listen to myself. You do that, and you listen to yourself.
Yeah, and then I have a friend usually that I join, and that's the important part, is whoever you bring or you're sitting by, they have to be on the same plan as you. And if they're not, then it can be really dicey.
It got so bad for me at one point. Again, y'all, this is a fifth grade spring basketball tournament.
Well, Jack Jones, you got to turn it up a little bit for that tournament.
Doesn't mean a thing.
Hey, come on now.
I was at MUS, and I was so close. This is what I wanted to do. Y'all know a lot of times there's something I want to do.
Yeah.
Like when I got pulled over by that sheriff.
Oh, yes, you want to take off.
But then you're smarter than that, you know, but not take off, but maybe go off. You're smarter than that, though,
yeah.
And you don't do it. Last night, I wanted to go up to this little elementary school referee.
Oh, don't do it.
And tell him, brother, you need to put it down. Just stop. You're the worst I've ever seen. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to ruin his night because I was so moved by some of his missed calls. Fifth grade game. That's how bad it was for me. And that's what's sad is that I'm supposed to be a deacon and everything else, Brad. Like you said, I'm just, forget deacon. Set that to the side, even though you're supposed to be a good example, especially when it comes to being a parent. I have that talk with myself, and then I find myself just falling back to the flesh.
I'm not perfect, by the way. I don't want to demonstrate.
Don't get me wrong, y'all. I'm not cursing or anything.
No, you're fine.
Again, I was one of those loud parents last night because it's for a little title.
What did you say? Let me ask what you said.
By the way.
Come on, ref.
Oh, I told him you're the worst.
Oh, no. You're the worst.
Yeah.
That's pretty much. Deep.
I mean, you know, it was mostly just bad call. You're awful.
You were upset.
But it's fifth grade.
Yeah, that's good context.
Again, at MUS, there's kids, there's children, and all that. Wasn't cursing. But again, yeah, It's not even a fourth grade title. It's, you know what I'm saying? It's not a school title.
Do you think he was the worst, though? Let's be honest. Was he the worst?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, and he should. He should not do it anymore.
We're having a hard time getting these people to do these jobs.
That's the issue. See, I realize that old angel on my shoulder realizes, Brad, you and I have had the talk. We've had folks that have come on and said, we need more officials because officials are quitting. And now I realize it's Jason, because of parents like you, right, that stare them down, that give them the laser stare, the heat stare and all that, tell them they're awful. I'm sorry. We did win the game.
Hey! See, it all worked out. And you didn't get tossed.
No, I was like Rick Carlisle. I was working the officials so that toward the end, because we had to win two games to do it. We did semifinals. Oh, we did finals. That's one of those ones you got to play two in the same night.
Sure.
If you win, you advance. So, yeah, I was working the officials.
Who's CJ playing for?
So I could get the call later. We are playing for New Hope.
We got New Hope.
We got a nice little spring team. Now, the school season's over. Yeah. This is just for the little Jack. It's really practice for next season, Brett. And we've got rising, fifth and sixth graders.
Excellent.
All right, playing in the fifth grade division. Had a good time. The officials actually over there. Buffy, actually, this goes up. I mean, Ernie Kuiper's over this whole thing.
Oh, yeah, he knows the whole thing.
Yeah, the Jack Jones. And so
they do a great job.
They do exactly. And I should say that. And again, the officials that they get.
Yeah, they're the best.
They're not getting paid a ton. Oh. And so the last thing they should have to deal with is parents like me last night. It's just true. They run a great tournament. Got another one coming up this summer. I'd recommend it anytime your kid's involved. Hopefully your organization is in the Jack Jones. They do
that.
There you go. That's for El
Jefe. We should
have
a confessional here at the beginning of the show.
And it's not just because I'm a partner of John, who works for Ernie Kuiper, basically, and Mike Miller, basically. It's not just because that. It's because I've experienced how good that tournament is. So we won it last night. CJ did not score in the finals. He did have six in the semis. Got a little, some tap outs.
Nice.
You know how much I admire the tap out now in today's NBA game.
Especially for undersized guard, trying to get the ball
CJ early. Exactly. Get your nose in there and
tap
it out.
Get a hand on it.
It's as good as an offensive rebound.
Absolutely.
If your guy gets it, and you're the reason it happened. Did a lot of hustling. We made some defensive plays. Anyway, a shout-out New Hope. We beat the War Eagles, as a matter of fact, in the championship.
Wow, that had to be bittersweet.
We're not here to talk for 3 hours about fifth-grade basketball, but I did want to explain and sort of apologize up front for why my voice might be even deeper than it usually is today.
Sort of a youth sports movement today. We had a gentleman on in Whitehaven, you know, in the community earlier on Jeff's show talking about baseball in our city.
And there's a fantastic gentleman there, and he's got I love the option.
Yep.
You know, they're trying to get more youth involved in baseball, and frankly, we need it.
We do.
And there's a bunch of, you know, there's a bunch of community efforts like that that we need to get behind more.
First Tee is the one for golf. I mean, they're trying to get this thing going, especially inner city.
Speaking of and this is a little bit higher up, but it's still sort of grassroots level. And we'll get to Minnesota Timberwolves and Dallas. But real quick, you mentioned this as we got out of here, and I looked into it more as we did. But that CBHS junior.
Hearn is his name?
Yes. Ashton Hearn, I believe.
Ashton Hearn. I mean, this kid is unbelievable.
Yeah, he broke the record. This was up at state.
Yes.
Broke the state record for discus, I want to say it is.
Yes.
I don't have it in front of me
Christian
right
Brothers,
now.
Christian Brothers, Hearn.
Yes, Ashton Hearn broke the state record for discus in winning the state title. But as you pointed out, and our man John Barless over the Daily Memphian, press man extraordinaire, backed it up, Ashton Hearn is a junior.
Yes.
His mark of, what was it, 199 feet? We'll get to it later. But his state record-breaking mark would have been third at the SEC championship meet this year.
That's crazy.
So, got off track there, but it's something I wanted to revisit in the run-out. I told you yesterday, when you were telling me the story, a dude's got to get a midweek respect burger.
Oh, my God.
No question about it. So, all of that to discuss. Again, pardon the weakened voice and everything else, but we'll make it through here, particularly with having my man next to me and Brad Carson. So, Dallas Mavericks last night did get home and catch that game. Very impressive. Mm-hmm. 108-105 game one win over the Minnesota Timberwolves that we will obviously talk about. Anthony Edwards said, I got Kyrie. After game seven, knocking off Denver, he was feeling himself, and he said, I got Kyrie, and he sure did last night. You motivated him. I'm sure you all have seen it by now. We'll talk about that later, too. His conversation after the game, Kyrie had 24 of his 30. in the first half, and mentioned that he was motivated by Anthony Edwards' statements after beating Denver, sort of calling Kyrie out. He got him, too. He also got some Luka. Luka Doncic continues to be fantastic. And last night did not, again, look injured whatsoever. 33 points for him. For Jason Kidd, it was their first Game 1 win in six tries. How about that? They had lost five straight Game 1s in playoff series under Jason Kidd. That gets erased last night. And I tell you what, Dallas certainly did it with defense. That'll be something we'll talk about today. Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Halliburton get the $40 million All-NBA bump in their contract extensions that our man John Morant missed out on last year. You know, they got it. Speaking of Tyrese Halliburton, he and the Pacers are going to be back, looking to bounce back from that Game 1 meltdown on Tuesday night against the Celtics, and even the series tonight on ESPN. Can hear that game here live on 929 FM ESPN starting at 7 o'clock. Celtics have dropped, how about this? I went back and looked. I'm pretty sure it's three straight game twos at home going back to last year's Eastern Conference Finals. Maybe I shouldn't be saying that because I don't want to affect Fade Brad. It's weird, but they have lost three straight game twos at home.
That won't affect the circle.
Obviously tonight at Boston. I'm realizing now I shouldn't have said that.
No, I've got it circled already. I'm not
Brad's
moving.
Already got it circled.
It happens before the show. That's my pre-show prep.
So his real process is before the show. That's what
just
you're
it's a circle. It's a what's the line before show, and then it moves the line, and then I'll pull up the injury report very, very late in the process.
You'll be able to hear the game, of course, again here on 92.9 FM ESPN starting at 7 o'clock, and we're going to do some Fade Brad a little bit later on.
That'll be fun.
JB Bickerstaff, Brad, hit it. Got to hit the button.
Oh, here we are. Thank you.
Man,
they got JB, Jason. What the heck? You know what? This is a cop-out. This is a cop-out by the Cavaliers.
A lot of them are cop-outs.
It's a total cop-out.
JB.
Oh, man. Let's hit it again.
It's hard not to feel for the brother.
This guy got torched by Memphis after having to sit through a press conference and then this.
Now, he damn near lost to Orlando in the first round.
Fair. But he got him through when he had injuries. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. But
he's
we know how it goes, too. We know how it goes in the NBA. I just think JB so often gets the short end.
Yep.
But that brother is gone.
Brother's gone.
We could not save him, y'all. The Ringer put out its top 25 best players in the NBA under the age of 25. It's got some folks a little triggered where John Morant is. We'll talk about that list. And then, again, locally, Brad mentioned that story yesterday in Rundown. We'll get to what Ashton Hearn did over at Spring Fling. I've got the mark and everything else. Pretty impressive against setting state records in the discus. And what's crazy is he's only a junior. We could be talking Olympic at some point.
Absolutely.
For this junior thrower over at CBHS. Real quick, before we get to game one of the Western Conference Finals, 11:30 or so, we'll talk to Drew Hill, Grizzlies beat writer for the Daily Memphian. We'll obviously talk about the Western Conference Finals. We'll talk about the Grizzlies, Taylor Jenkins, the coaching changes, the assistant coaching changes that Taylor Jenkins talked about this week that Drew reported on. You know, what's it a sign of? Are we expecting major offensive changes for the Grizzlies next year based on what's been reported in terms of these changes with the assistant staff? Taylor Jenkins all but acknowledged that offense was the issue last year. Just look at the NBA rankings. You were dead last in offense and realize something's got to be changed there. You figure a bunch of it is going to come on the offensive side. We'll talk to Drew Hill about that, the upcoming draft. At noon, we'll do the rundown. We know where the now 2026 NFL draft will be held. Next year's is in Green Bay, which we already knew. Also in the rundown, Caitlin Clark just keeps on losing, Brett. Mm. She ain't lost this much since Pee Wee League. If she did then, she was probably the star of her own team. Her dad was coaching. I don't know. She's lost five in a season ever.
She's having a hard time, Jason.
She can't catch a break. The Fever can't catch a break, and right now they can't get a win. I told you who's going to be. Speaking of maybe scapegoats, now she may deserve it, whatever.
That coach
is going to be in trouble again because you can't be sitting around with a product.
Sister?
A product that's on. Look, that sister in this case. A product that's on TV just about every night now because of Caitlin Clark. You can't be out there winless.
No.
It's going to be that coach, I imagine. And then around 12:45, we'll do Faye Brad Carson.
We won last night, which means you lost.
You proved you're human, not a machine.
No.
You know, you bleed.
I do bleed.
And in this
and
case,
it's honesty,
that means
integrity
you
picks.
You pick winners.
Integrity
in this
picks.
Case. And you did that last night. You had Mavericks plus 4.5.
Yep.
Congrats to you. You win for our Fade Brad losers. You lose on that one, but the bonus pick.
Bonus pick came
through,
didn't it?
Yeah, I did my bonus pick. Yeah, Luka didn't get his pick, 3.5 threes.
Bonus pick for Brad continues to be undefeated in terms of he's giving you the losers.
Yeah.
And again, you could have gone even if you took that bonus pick.
I'll have another one tonight.
Yeah, three, right? Did not go over 3.5.
Yep.
And so Brad gave you that little sweet bonus pick that did come through for
Tatum
you.
Tatum will be part of my bonus pick today.
Okay.
There's a little
Tatum
tease.
Was part of the one the other day.
I'm going to go back to that well.
Interesting. Interesting. It worked for us last time again.
It won't be threes. It'll be a different one.
Brad 0-3, which means perfect in his bonus pick. So pay close attention around 12:50, and then at 1:25 or so, we'll talk to the professor, Jeff Calkins, host of the Jeff Calkins Show. Hopefully, you're listening to every day, and hopefully, you're reading him over at the Daily Memphian. So lots to get to. But again, little nuts and bolts on last night. Dallas Mavericks get the win. 15 of Doncic's 33 points came in that decisive fourth quarter when they came back and put the game away. Really did, before we get to a few more nuts and bolts, really did look like AE, Anthony Edwards, as much as he sounded ready for Kyrie Irving calling him out and calling this Dallas team out after they knock off Denver, was worn down.
Yep.
You know, you're coming off of a 7-game series with Denver, and that's not to make excuses, and probably should have touched on this later, but that seemed apparent, and it really was in the fourth quarter when there was no stopping Luka Doncic. They outscored, and I would have never predicted this, and I told you, Brad, it's been a theme with me and just this Dallas team. I can't get a hold of them. Every time I think I got them figured out, I don't. The one thing I do is that you've got to credit them defensively. But it's what they did inside. 16-38 advantage points in the paint against Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy
Gobert. There.
You know, and that's what I'm talking about, Brad, in terms of the Grizzlies. You know, the necessity, how imperative it is that you go get big, get that center, and move yourself back up from out of the doldrums in terms of rebounding last year, 25th, and get yourself back where you rightfully belong by going and getting you another center. You are not getting back to contender status with these teams playing now if you don't have somebody in there helping Jaren next season. Back to the point, I thought that was amazing how Dallas controlled the paint. Now, a lot of that's Luka getting in the paint and doing his thing, but that is Dallas controlling the paint in a way I didn't think they'd be able to against the number one defense in the league, which we mentioned held Anthony Edwards, who, yes, might have been tired, to a pretty pedestrian effort. And listen, few things. I was so moved by Dallas's defensive effort. No, we're talking about Kyrie and Luka both going over 30 in that game. Brad, that I was moved to tweet last night about
it. I
know you saw it. You know, I don't do that often.
No.
Anymore.
No.
And John tells me that I'm shadow banned. That tweet did not go viral. You know, what I
well,
said.
Well, you are shadow banned. I have to go to our feed to find you.
I don't want to be John and read my tweet on the air either, because there's something
save it for
cringe
the air.
About
You've got
that.
A radio show.
I'll just let you know. I was just tweeting about how impressed I was with Dallas's defense. Did not go viral. Only got 14 likes. I appreciate
it. Oh, don't judge your life by that.
Well, listen, let's be real. You gave me the 92.9 bump, right? You reposted it. We only got 14 likes. That said, I was still motivated, right, to dig in. And you'll be proud of me, Brad. I dug in deep.
I love it.
In terms of this Dallas defense, during the regular season, Dallas's defense was 18th in defensive efficiency in the NBA. 18th. Middle of the road, right?
Right.
Bottom.
Very average.
No question.
Ish.
No question. Remember, trade deadline, they go get Daniel Gafford and P.J. Washington.
Sir.
We've talked a ton about it. About really how you had to throw out the Minnesota-Dallas regular season series, which Minnesota won, because none of it happened. All of those games were before the trade deadline.
Yep.
I dug this up, Brett. You should be very proud of me. I got real Chris Harrington,
going
real analytics.
It. Yeah.
Since the trade, they're 8th in defensive efficiency.
Well, there you have it.
So they finished out the regular season 8th, basically, after the trade, after you go get Gafford, after you go get P.J. Washington. In these playoffs, they're 6th.
Yep.
I can understand P.J. Washington, Daniel Gafford coming in. Those guys are active. P.J. Washington's very versatile defensively. You can understand them getting better bringing those guys in. And listen, I thought Grant Williams would be a part of that, but they made the decision to move off him.
Yeah.
Smart, clearly.
Yep.
What you could not have convinced me of is what I saw last night from Luka, particularly as he's going off offensively, what he was willing to do on the defensive end. It's what I tweeted about. I mean, you guys saw it. He's knocking away lobs in the lane. We love to say Luka's non-athletic, but gets it done with that big old strong body, can create the space offensively. Last night, he's jumping up in the air, knocking away lobs.
Yep.
He's face guarding Mike Conley at one point, chest bumping him. you know, trying to make it tough for Mike Conley. He's getting steals late in the game after Minnesota, I think it was Jaden McDaniels, is trying to throw a ball in from inbounds. He's falling out of bounds. You get the steal there, create the break. It leads to a three. He's playing defense in a way that I thought I would never see from a team, particularly with him and Kyrie. I always thought, okay, you can buff up the back of a defense, right? But if you've got Kyrie and Doncic up front, there's no way you can be effective defensively. They're sixth in the playoffs in defense. They're doing it every night. And again, we mentioned it. That's why it's been an awakening for me on Dallas in terms of what they're doing defensively. They did this to OKC. They played a physical style that I did not think they were capable of, and last night they whipped it on Minnesota.
Yeah, the thing I noticed when that Oklahoma City series was how long they are, and I hadn't watched a lot of Mavericks because
they were physical
when you put Gafford and then you sub in Lively, like
exactly.
Even against like Oklahoma City, who likes to hover around the perimeter, like they're really long. I mean, it is visible.
So they have been pretty much an elite defensive team since the trade deadline.
Yep.
Much of it because of the trade, but a lot of it because your face, Luka Doncic,
he's
is now bought in defensively in a way that we've lauded Anthony Edwards for all season long, right? Talking about, man, look at the two-way player, the Anthony. Oh, he gets it. Luka now has the same buy-in on defense. Not capable of all the same things, but last night you saw him stretching himself to be a factor on the defensive end. Man.
Role players. Derrick Jones is a role player.
They've got all the role players, but they're so together now defensively in a way that I never thought they'd be, that now has me, again, and I got to give you credit, Brad, you picked Dallas in seven. You're looking real good right now with them having already stolen home court advantage. But maybe you're right in the sense that, again, it's an awakening for me on Dallas. Maybe this Dallas defense that I just watched give OKC all kinds of problems is good enough that I need to be looking at the odds have flipped. Dallas is now the favorite in the series, and maybe it's me that now has to come around that if this team can continue to be that consistent, you know, make life so tough for Minnesota inside the way they did last night, outscoring them in the paint the way they did, then they're going to win this series.
I just think they're close.
And I did not see that coming into it.
I think these two teams are really close.
They are close.
That's why I think it's going to be a seven-game series.
Well,
I think Timberwolves are capable, though.
To your point, maybe if AE's not so, you know, if Anthony Edwards, Ant-Man's not so worn down in that game.
Yeah.
And listen, he's not the only one. I mean, that whole team went through that game seven where you're in Denver. Mm-hmm. You give everything you've got to come back. And I mean, you were down 20 in that game.
Yep.
That's the issue there. So I'm not going to – I can't use – tired legs as an excuse, but again, maybe if there's another day in between, they've got another day's rest. You don't have Dallas running off in the fourth quarter and finishing them off the way they did. Again, I'm not saying this series is over. In fact, I've got Wendy in my brain right now, and I can hear him, and he often says this: do not ever overreact to game ones.
That's right.
You know, in terms of trying to predict the way the rest of the way the series will go, but my gosh, Dallas. Again, much of the talk is about Kyrie and Luka going over 30 and what they did offensively and controlling the paint. But for me, it was what Dallas did defensively and what they have continued to do defensively. It's consistent now for them. Again, elite defensively since the trade deadline, according to the analysts.
Well, and like the Pacers, you know, the Pacers blew that game one in their series, and I think they did it in a profound fashion. I do think the Mavericks stole a game here that they needed if they need to win the series, because you have the tip at the rim from Karl Anthony Towns that goes against the call against Minnesota.
Yeah.
And there's some breaks there at the
when
end.
When that happened live, I thought it was a bad call, but when you see it, that ball's going to come down and hit the rim again.
It is.
And so in the end, it was the right call.
Got it. Right. Yeah, but
it was
in
the
real
right call.
Time, it didn't look like it, but and then the Conley, you know, he's on the 3-point line. They foul him there,
missed the free throws when he
tough.
Needed to make the first couple, and then missed the last one.
So you got to make those free throws if you're Mike. But
again, maybe tired legs, maybe not. Use it as an excuse. Yes, you know, that impressive what they did in coming back from 20 down in that game seven at Denver, and I imagine that takes a lot out of you.
That's
but,
true.
You can't use it as an excuse, and frankly, now they're in a position where they have to win.
Yep.
You cannot go down 0-2, lose your first two games at Minnesota, and still expect to be in this series. Dallas got a chance to really put them on the ropes, it feels like. Because, again, what, Dallas going to go back home and lose two? You win game two of this series, you're really in control. Last thing on this before we get to Drew Hill, because I always love bringing it back to Memphis. Are you aware at all of Minnesota superfan Cottrell Mack.
You have educated me a little bit on this, and I'm getting schooled a little bit. Take me up to speed on this.
So I had to get educated, yep. And I'm not fully educated. I've reached out and tried to learn more.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought I was seeing
a guy
that I recognized on television
besides Josh Minot, somebody other than Josh Minot.
Oh, yeah, former Tiger Josh Minot's always on that bench.
Sideline. He's
doing his part as a cheerleader right now.
Got his mouth wide open.
He's a great prospect. When you've seen him get in garbage time, dude, he may be one of the most athletic guys to have ever come through Memphis, and because it was such a short time, we won't necessarily hold him up as that. But that dude is so athletic.
Yeah, I didn't mean to distract the
point. No problem at all. Back to Cottrell.
Yeah.
I thought I was recognizing somebody from around here at these Minnesota games during the playoffs.
Yeah.
And it turns out I was. Many of you all in Memphis that already know Cottrell Macklin probably are already aware of this. Cottrell Macklin is the son of Corey Macklin. Remember Corey Macklin? He was the voice and television host, Memphis Wrestling, a former sportscaster. I think he was at 24 for a time, local television, local personality, period, but did a lot of TV, did some radio around here. Tragically, passed away at 43, I think it's been over a decade ago now, in a car accident. But his sons, one of them, Cottrell Macklin, he's got another that I believe is a sportscaster rising in television through the markets. But Cottrell Macklin, one of his sons, used to do maybe something you've seen on YouTube that would come up locally, especially around the high school scene previously, a show called Ultimate Preps. He'd put together these fantastic scripts that he wrote. You know, he had this television background, but also a digital background, and video from these top games. He'd be at East with Penny, all the top games, everything else. He would always be there, and this show, Ultimate Preps, was getting hits and everything else, doing a fantastic job. Just a dude that was hustling, right? Trying to break through in the media game, much like our man Anthony Sane has. You know, that kind of hustle. And again, the son of a legend around here, and Corey Macklin. I think now he's in real estate. That's kind of who he was, but I kept seeing him pop up, like I said, and he's in this costume. He said it now in stories. He bought it from Amazon. It's got a wolf head, these paws.
It looks like our wolf
this
costume.
This neon green shirt.
Yeah.
And it makes him, he's a Minnesota super fan.
Yeah.
It makes it look like almost he's living there, like he's been a fan forever. As far as I can tell, Brother Macklin still lives in Memphis.
Wow.
But he's been on the road. He's been at these Minnesota. I think he was at Phoenix, and it was there that I think he went viral in terms of for the Minnesota fan base, who has now caught on to him.
Yeah.
It was there in Phoenix where it went viral because he had asked the custodian for his broom. Okay, the custodian ends up giving it to him. And so in his look, while he's screaming and yelling for Minnesota, and, well, you know, how he became a Minnesota fan, that's all been explained, the stories and everything. But why he's waving that broom. And, of course, Minnesota went on and took care of business. So it made him viral. He's still living here in Memphis. And I still think working real estate and everything else and flying planes up back and forth between here and Minnesota. You said you got video or audio?
I've got the thing you sent me here.
He's gotten so big.
Yes.
He just got
local
a pair.
Local TV is interviewing him.
That local television, the Minnesota Timberwolves have picked it up. But listen to this. He was at the game.
I just got here this morning, literally. And I'm leaving right after the game. But I had to get here just for this.
Yeah?
Yeah. Early 2000s, so I was in 2001, 2002, like Wally Zerbiak area, and then KG, and then Ant-Man, all these guys now. So,
okay, yeah. Who's your favorite Wolves player of all time?
That's the ultimate preps,
bro. It's got to be KG.
And now, who's your favorite Wolves player on the current roster?
I gotta go Ant-Man. Wait, I hate to sound like everybody else, but he's a dog, and we need him.
All right.
Yeah.
I got a signed Ant shoe for you.
No way. No,
signed
no,
Anthony
no, 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 you're kidding. No, you're serious?
I'm serious.
Oh, this is crazy. I've been waiting to see these, too. These are cold. Thank you so much. Thank you. I've been waiting to, like, all right.
Here's the man, signed Anthony Edwards.
Go Wolves! We said it'll happen in 4, but it's in 7. I said it from the jump. That's why I didn't bring out the broom. We getting the deal done tonight. AE said so.
So this dude's flying back and forth to the games from Memphis to wherever Minnesota is, and he's done such a good job. And again, his fandom, and I'm sure he'd tell you he's a Grizz fan. I've seen him at Grizz games back in the day. But he's been a Minnesota fan since he'd tell you KG he has this weird Wally Szczerbiak love that he's talked about that helped make him a Minnesota fan.
Interesting.
But anyway, he's been going back and forth for a while.
He's a TV guy.
He's not some new Minnesota fan that's just caught on here. Well, but what made him start saving up for these trips, apparently, according to these stories, is that he saw it all sort of coming together and said, I'm going to go all in. And he's done such a good job at being a super fan that the Timberwolves fan base has grappled on. They're writing, now seen as the unofficial mascot of the Timberwolves. Like, this dude has taken over. And so, always a Memphis tie. Those of you that know Cottrell Maclin will say, man, and again, he's combined that big voice, everything else that he's got, but he's put everything he's got into it. And, dude, he has moved the masses up there in Minnesota from basically down here in Memphis going back and forth.
We retweeted this from the 92.9 ESPN Twitter or X account. And what really sells this thing, it takes a special sort of fan and man to wear paws to a basketball game. He's wearing
that
not
he got
only the
off
head
Amazon,
costume,
I believe.
He's got paws, too.
Yeah, he's got the whole wolf head and everything and makes him stand out. Then he wears the neon green shirt. And now, I mean, you know, it's gotten him a signed pair of AEs, and
there you go.
They're writing his enthusiasm and dedication have not only endeared him to the Timberwolves community, but have also enhanced the playoff atmosphere.
It's like their bongo lady almost.
Alike.
It's like the, remember the bongo lady?
But how crazy is it that he's doing it long distance?
And he's a Memphian.
I thought maybe they had moved. He had moved his, I believe he's got a wife and a young daughter, a young child.
Okay.
And I thought maybe they had moved to Minnesota.
Yeah, maybe that's what it
These
is.
These stories, he's going back
he's,
and forth.
He's flying.
They've told Minnesota folks, they're like, he doesn't even live here.
There is always
a Memphis tie.
Always.
And he predicted the Phoenix series. You heard him say he thinks this one's going to be 7. He may have been talking about the Denver series with that prediction. I think that video was from a couple of days ago. But anyway, yeah, Cottrell Maclin, Memphian, son of Corey Maclin.
That's something.
God rest his soul, up as a Minnesota Timberwolves superfan. Now, let me tell you something. Don't come in here, Cottrell, and I love him to death.
With a Grizzlies thing on.
Trying to go to Grizz games.
Don't do that.
And use them
Don't
paws
do that.
You got for the Timberwolf.
Don't do that.
And yeah, try to turn them into bear hands.
No.
Okay?
No, you might.
Now,
don't do it.
What I respect is the grind.
Yeah.
The back and forth to go be a super fan up there. But what we better not see is him trying to be a bear down there next year at FedEx Forum, right?
He's them same claws.
You can't flip it.
Yeah.
You Minnesotas now. We love you. You'll always be Memphis, but you're their super fan. You're their super fan. No, I love Brother Maclin, and what a crazy story, dude. Long-distance super fan for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and they have embraced him, and they're giving him signed AE shoes. We're going to talk to Drew Hill coming up next. We'll talk about Grizzlies. We'll talk about playoffs. But first, I'm going to tell you we're obviously in the thick of it in the NBA playoffs with the conference finals. It's not too late to get in on the action with FanDuel, because right now new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 to use on same-game parlays, live bets, championship futures to fade Brad. There's no better place to bet all the playoff action than on America's number one sportsbook. Just go to FanDuel.com/JSmith to get started. Again, that's FanDuel.com/JSmith with new customers getting $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. Just take the opposite of what Brad's doing. That'll get you. That'll win that $5 bet. Usually, on most nights, 60% of the time, actually. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA and of 92.9 FM ESPN, must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Drew Hill is the fabulous Grizzlies beat writer for the Daily Memphian. Read him at dailymemphian.com. Follow him on X at Drew Hill_EM. He and his colleague Chris Harrington just dropped that latest podcast last night, if I'm not mistaken. Always a good and informative and entertaining. Listen, he joins us like he always does on Thursdays. Very grateful to him for that. Today he joins us in studio, so even more grateful. Drew, how are you, brother? It's good to see you in person. You're looking good and healthy.
I'm good.
Things settling
that's,
down?
That's the married man life.
Yeah. Are they settling down for you, married man?
That's good. Yeah. I mean, I would say when you're planning a wedding, it's obviously very stressful.
Oh, I remember.
More so for her than for me. And maybe that speaks to me. Maybe I should have done a little bit more, but she was very stressed. And then, you know, we went on our honeymoon. We came back and, like, we were like, man, we don't have any big financial things hanging over our head right now. And we don't have to worry about what color, you know, placemats we're going to have or There's no difficult decisions anymore.
Man.
It's like life went on slow motion since we came back to the States, and it's been great. I mean, that part of it has been awesome. This Grizzlies offseason has been quite hellacious, but other than that, I would say that it's been pretty
and you're good. Living what John has taught me is the dink life. Double income, no kids.
Yeah. Well, we've been saying double income, no kids, no wedding now at this point. Mm-hmm. That's what we've been saying. Mm-hmm. So.
I like that a lot. You have had a lot to write about, especially with Taylor Jenkins publicly acknowledging what will be change with the coaching, the assistant coaching staff. I guess, and you've reported on this, the way to get into this is to ask you, what do you expect to change in terms of forgetting asking which assistants are out of here?
Right.
Like, what's the impetus for this?
Is it
for offensive change? I mean, Brad and I have talked about it last year and everything else, but you watch this thing every day.
I would expect to see changes in the front of the bench assistants, like the main men and women, I should say. Next to Taylor Jenkins, I would expect that you're going to see new faces. I would suspect that you're going to have an offensive philosophy that is different than what they ran last year. And I know we'll get into all the other stuff too, but the sense that I've gotten from people that I've spoken to around the team that are informed on these types of things is that this was something that they did collaborate on. That them being Taylor Jenkins and Zach Kleiman, as Taylor said yesterday, or 2 days ago, that was the case. And that started almost as soon as the season ended. And I do expect that there will be philosophical changes in terms of what they're going to do offensively. Now, what those look like, I can't tell you that right now.
Yeah,
because we don't know
who's
going to be in charge yet of those sorts of things.
Sure.
So do I expect there will be changes? Yes. Do I expect there's going to be new faces? Yes. And it's interesting because everybody's come in here talking about the change in assistants and like reporting that they had been fired versus other things. And I actually think that Chris Harrington explained almost on my behalf better than I could explain myself how the process and what Chris said is essentially there's a difference between truthful and factual. And I think it may be truthful to say that the Grizzlies have quote unquote fired their assistant coaches or whatever, because the assistants are not going to be brought back as the assistants
in those same spots.
Yep. I don't know if it's factual to say fired. I don't think that is the case. I believe, people know that it's probably in their best interest to try to go find another job because other people are being brought in. But, whether or not they would have remained on staff, I think that still remains to be seen. So I don't know if it's quite factual quite yet to say that they fired all these people. I don't think there's been no mass exodus, at least not that I know of yet with the Grizzlies.
Just having watched it as closely as you have, what would you say of the set-aside offense, and it was bad last year, and Taylor's acknowledged that, the development side?
Yeah.
What would you say of how they've done over, I don't know, let's just, Ja's time here. I mean, you can throw Bane in there if you want to. Obviously, everybody's talking about Gigi and Vince this year. Laravia, end of season, even. Saw some improvement there again. The circumstances matter, but... How would you rate the job they've done in development?
I think they've done a good job.
It feels...
Right?
I know there have been misses, but even some of the guys that you brought in that you expected to be stars have... I mean, Bane, I know a lot of that is him, but he's
every
added something
team
every...
has draft misses. Every team has
right.
draft misses.
We like to point to the ones and say no,
right.
and hold it against them.
I would say that they've done a good job. Especially with players like Gigi. I mean,
I think I agree.
They were so careful with Gigi right away because they kind of knew that Gigi might be a little bit more, they didn't want anything to go to his head, right? They
mm-hmm.
they wanted to keep him as grounded as they possibly could.
Right.
And I think Gigi's, a big credit to him, has shown the maturity to do that and handle that so far. But I think they deserve a ton of credit. Vince almost came out of nowhere. He played minutes in the G League. I would say you maybe hoped a little bit more to get a little bit more from Santi in terms of development.
I would agree.
Zaire, obviously there were high hopes, but
this hasn't happened.
I don't know. It just hasn't worked out. And obviously Desmond Bane has made big leaps. Ja made a leap in his early years with the team. So Jaren obviously is a totally different player now than he was 3 years ago. I would say that they've done a good job, and I think that is something that is being taken into account by those that are in charge with the Memphis Grizzlies as they evaluate the coaching staff. I know that to be the case.
Taylor Jenkins.
Yeah.
I almost don't want to ask the question because I feel like you've been hit with it so much time. Saw you tweeting about it, but this whole hot seat conversation.
Yeah.
Is the biggest part of that is just that's life in the NBA, that you're going to be judged on playoffs, whatever else, and the reality is he's got one playoff series win over 5 years, and you're going to be judged from season to season. Is it more than that? How do you look at the situation?
Yeah. So I just would want to clarify, too, like when I say things like I don't believe Taylor's on the hot seat, as I did on Twitter, none of this is an agenda for me. Because it doesn't matter if Taylor Jenkins is the coach or not.
I know you
don't. That doesn't matter to me.
Right.
This is based on reporting I'm doing, people I'm speaking to, right?
Yeah.
And every indication that I've gotten is that the front office and Grizzlies overall as a whole are not dissatisfied with the job that Taylor Jenkins has done. In fact, they think Taylor Jenkins has done a good job. Last year, the injuries... I mean, no one's going to win with that roster. I don't care if you're Greg Popovich. I mean, we've watched it, right? The Spurs have been terrible. So I don't think that – I think it's really important how we categorize hot seat, right? Because every NBA coach that's expected to coach a playoff team this year, if their team got off to a disastrous start to begin the year, they would be at risk of getting fired. That's just the nature of the NBA.
Jason Kidd was on shaking ground at one point.
Does that mean that – Taylor Jenkins is more on the hot seat than any other coach that has playoff expectations going into next year? Like, I don't think so. That's not the way I view it. If you want to have a dialogue about the way that coaching changes operate in the NBA, and yeah, he's been there a long time, so maybe he might be coming up towards the end of it. That's fine. But the way I view it is like, is he on unstable ground with the people that are evaluating him and how he can coach? I don't know if we're quite to that point. I do think like there's changes being made for a reason, but these changes are made because they're being viewed as upgrades. Like they're being viewed as, you know,
as opposed
how we're going to
this is the last straw for you. Clean this out, fix this.
I never have gotten that.
That's what everybody's trying to pull together. Hollinger sort of connected.
Yeah, and like the thing about Hollinger is, and I was there at the combine with Hollinger.
Yeah, you were there.
Hollinger is talking about the chatter that's going on among all the executives.
What they're saying.
This is like, you know, this is like when you go to the Final Four and there's all the coaches from colleges all across the country, and they're all sitting there talking, and there's going to be conversations about players, you know, like gossip about players making certain money or coaches that may be moving or like whatever it might be. Same stuff happens at the combine because it's all of the executives in the same place.
And names
and
come
so
up.
It makes a lot of sense, right? If they're saying the Grizzlies are overhauling their coaching staff, I wonder what that means for Taylor. I think that's what Hollinger was reporting. I wonder what this means for Taylor. This, you know, some people think that maybe this could mean he's on the hot seat. That's what Hollinger was reporting, overall chatter. He wasn't reporting the Grizzlies told Taylor Jenkins that he's on the hot seat. Like, I don't think that that's what he was trying to reflect in that report.
But he definitely used the connection of having to move on from your assistants because he did it twice.
Of course,
he pointed out
would.
Here and with Chauncey Billups up in Portland and how he's had to clean out. I didn't realize he had to fire his own brother, apparently, up there.
Oh,
Hollinger put in that thing.
I think Chauncey would have loved to get that Phoenix job.
Yeah.
But.
That's right. There was all that speculation he wanted out of there to get that.
I interviewed Chauncey for the piece on Tayshaun.
Tayshaun, that's right. He was in that piece. That's
and,
right. The Breakfast Club they used to have.
Yeah, that
was a good piece, man.
That was interesting. But, yeah, there weren't going to be questions about Chauncey's job security in that interview. I could tell you.
Dude, they got real issues over there that, you know, in terms of the Portland situation, the Grizzly situation, what Taylor's got.
Yeah. No, so, like, I mean, if you want to have a conversation about the way that the NBA coaching changes operate, and if you want to be skeptical,
no, I think
that's
you've
fine.
Addressed it well.
All I can do is report what I hear from the from my sourcing within the organization, and everything I've heard is that there's still confidence in Taylor Jenkins. Again, though, I don't think that means he's safe from some disastrous start,
because no,
any
safe,
coach
right.
could get fired. Right. You know, that's how I view this and where I think things stand currently. I wouldn't say that, like, he's under a ton of pressure to win and win right away. But, I mean, it's also May.
Right.
It is May of 2024. Yeah. By the time the playoffs end next year, if the rotations are a disaster in the playoffs or whatever, and you don't feel confident about it, we're not going to be coming back to May saying, well, you know, he's going to be gone because he's been on the hot seat. Like, no, he wasn't under the microscope until the playoffs started. So I think it's pretty early for that. And again, I can only share what I think I know and what people say to me. So that's what I'm doing. But I don't have any agenda. If Taylor's the coach or not, I'm going to cover the team the same way.
No question. And we certainly believe that, brother. You're doing good work. Talking, of course, to Drew Hill, Daily Memphian, Grizzlies beat writer. All right, you mentioned playoffs. Who's winning this Dallas-Minnesota series? And you got, you know, I should have asked you before the series.
It's tough, but, like, I felt really strongly that Minnesota might just blow the doors off of them.
I thought Minnesota in six.
Because they have so many bodies that they can throw at Luka.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they took Jokic and Murray out of that series was so impressive.
They looked like tired bodies last
night.
Look,
they both played well. Like, Jokic and Murray both played well in Game 7, but Minnesota just still had more firepower. But there were a few games where they looked so connected defensively. Like, that's how Minnesota was winning the series overall. And I thought that's what we were going to get. But you're right. I mean, like, Anthony Edwards had nothing in that fourth quarter. I mean, he was dragging his butt up and down the court and could barely,
no
you
legs.
Know, he was completely out of gas. And I was almost stunned that he wasn't attacking, because the thing we've always given him credit for is that he is this ultra aggressive player with this killer mindset that you can visually see on the court.
Yep.
And that wasn't there last
night. Didn't have it last night.
Wasn't there in the fourth quarter. Wasn't really there in Game 7, if we're being honest, either.
Yep. His teammates picked him up downstairs.
So I still think Minnesota's the better team. I still think Minnesota's going to win the series. I know that would be an upset at this point. I think Dallas is now the favorite in the series. Mm-hmm. But I just think they have – if they can get their wind back and be healthy, I mean, it's not like they're – too banged up, but they clearly were out of gas last night. I think they're the better team. I think they've got more that they can throw at Luka and Kyrie, and I think they'll get to the finals.
It's the how good Dallas has been defensively since the trade deadline that I keep not factoring in. And last night, again, that they what they did defensively, what they did in the paint against the Timberwolves blew me away. But and Luka, a guy I never thought would be leading an effective defense as just the front of it.
I saw your tweet, man.
He got 14 likes. You were not one of them. I appreciate it. No, I tried to go out. I was motivated.
I should have liked it.
No, you didn't need. You didn't need to. And here's the deal. It was Captain Obvious. It's like, bro, we saw Luka knock away the lob passes. Again, that's why I've died on Twitter. I'm just Captain on X. I'm Captain Obvious. I shouldn't have even tried it. But no, it's how good they are defensively and have been since getting PJ Washington and Gafford, eighth since the trade deadline, sixth in the playoffs. That I keep. And may not, I'm not giving them enough credit for, and now I'm feeling like I'm trying to, you know, bounce back out. They've been so effective defensively.
Yeah, well, I've just been sleeping on Dallas way too much.
Yeah, you were OKC man. You were telling us all OKC, OKC, OKC.
I think
I was asleep on Dallas too, though.
I think you're right, but again, I think in the end that Minnesota's going to have too. Like, I just trust Naz Reid is on an insane run. Right
he
now.
Is.
This guy is.
They're
just,
not here if not for Naz Reid. They're not
no
where
way.
They are. Because Carl's too inconsistent. So is Gobert, frankly.
Yes.
You know what you're getting from Nas.
And McDaniels looked like prime Klay Thompson at times.
Which is weird.
It's crazy that they have all of these bodies that they can throw out there that just are productive. And that's how they beat Denver in a 7-game series. I think it's going to work against Dallas. It's just a different style. But, yeah, you're right. Dallas has impressed me. Luka, his efforts defensively have been much better. You know what? I think there was something that, like, I'm not saying he doesn't complain anymore in the playoffs, but it felt like there was a moment in the last series against Oklahoma City where he just decided that he was going to stop complaining and Luka. He was just going to play.
Oh, he talked Luka. About it. What, was that six? What? Or maybe it was,
I don't remember.
One of them.
He talked about that?
About it afterwards. Oh, yeah, the stories. It was a completely different approach. Now, that last game, he kind of went back to it. But, yeah, for a game, he did. And I think he's lightened up.
He wasn't complaining last night. He was pretty locked in. And I think that changes a lot. It also just makes him a much more likable player. It's tough. When he's complaining the way that he does.
No, I'm with you. That's when I don't like him. He's doing less of it. And here's the other thing. Kyrie is now likable to me.
Yeah.
Because he has flipped. Turned over a new leaf. And you saw it again last night after the game with Charles Barkley, where Charles is trying to bait him and say, oh, man, Anthony Edwards called you out. He called you out. You were at the dinner table, and he said, I got Kyrie after game 7, you know, beating Denver. And there's this opportunity for Kyrie to go in or, you know, but he doesn't. He said, yeah, I heard that. You know, the old man heard that, and, yeah, it was a motivator. He just answered it in a way that maybe previous Kyrie, the one who wanted to be the smartest guy in the room or whatever, or make, you know, maybe not. Anyway, whether it's with his teammates or whatever else, this has been a new Kyrie. A lot of it apparently is Dallas and just how much he loves the fit. Read a lot about that, like how comfortable they've made him. But this is a conscious effort from him to be less controversial, to be a leader, you know, do more of it by example than by saying, hey, my teammates need to pick it up like he was trying to in Boston and other places he's wrecked. He's gone from, you know, I don't know, potential franchise wrecker there or whatever. I mean, you're talking about a champion, so it's hard to say that. But maybe a little bit of a cancer to now, dude, he's like best teammate ever and this likable guy.
There's something
this likable dude.
Fantastic about watching people find their peace.
Yes.
There's something just so enjoyable.
This happened for Kobe. Kobe changed in a way because, again, well, he had to go from being the sidekick and all that, but wanted it all for himself, you know, wants to be Jordan and everything. In the end, he's pouring into people. Remember how bad a team, folks used to talk about how hard it is playing with Kobe, yep. Kershaw out there. At the end, he was pouring in more so than he was taking, you know what I'm saying, or demanding respect. I just look at him as one of those changes that you're talking about.
It's just nice to see somebody find their peace. And, like,
yeah.
It also makes me have a lot of questions about what was going on in Brooklyn that made him this uncomfortable. Like, was he doing this on purpose to try to get out of there? Like, was that part of the – because now – ever since he got to Dallas, it's like he's an entirely different type of player. And he showed up and he was never confrontational, even with the media there. And I remember there was like this reputation. I mean, I don't think it was a secret that it was flirted. I went to Dallas for a little bit and like whatever. Yeah. Like there was conversations about like, can you handle Kyrie? Because it's a challenge for the media.
It has been historically.
Doesn't exactly seem to be the case.
He's not doing
anymore.
That anymore at all.
So
challenging reporters and everything else like you used to do.
It's just lovely to, like, you just cheer for people. And
like you said, it's a peach. That's the right word.
That's what he's found. And I've found it enjoyable, too, watching him. Although I keep doubting Dallas, man, and they might just go on.
I know, I'm with you. And they're convincing me I may have been a fool to underestimate them. All right, last thing I got for you, and I appreciate you. Really appreciate you coming in studio. John comes in here yesterday on the, fifth of 6 weeks of paternity leave. I hadn't seen him in a while. Brings the kid in.